Of John chapter 10, and let's talk about Jesus, the beautiful shepherd. John chapter 10, and let's begin reading at verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the people didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the door for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for the people that you love so much. Thank you for your presence here and your powerful word. Father, I pray that you'd come and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you speak are life. Lord, I pray that you just breathe life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to ask you to do something with me for just a moment. Would you close your eyes with me for just one moment and keep them closed? And I want to ask you to picture Jesus in your mind. While your eyes are closed, what image do you see? We just saw a whole collage of images that Pastor Dan put together for us. But what do you see when you picture Jesus? How do you see him? Do you see him on a cross? Do you see him looking forlorn and forsaken? Is he pale and pathetic? Is he bloody and gory? Is Jesus far away? Is he elevated and encircled by rays of glory? Is he unapproachable? How do you see Jesus? Does he look stern or is he joyful? Is he welcoming you? Are his hands outstretched? Is he kind and good? Is he laughing and surrounded by children? How do you see him? You may open your eyes. Let me ask, how many of you had a picture of Jesus that you could just see in your mind's eye? Now let me ask you, where did your picture of Jesus come from? Did it come from a stained glass window or a statue in a church? Did it come from a picture in your grandmother's house or from a children's Bible? Or did it come from a movie maybe you saw about Jesus? Where did you get your picture of Jesus? I have to be honest with you, from the earliest time I can remember, Jesus has always been beautiful to me. When I was growing up, my family worshiped at a historic Presbyterian church in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Princeton University was born at that church, founded by its pastor, a man named William Tennant. Like all of the original Ivy League schools, Princeton was found to train men for the ministry, for the gospel ministry. We worshiped in the Phase 2 building of that church, built in 1742. And over the altar is a magnificent stained glass window showing Jesus as the beautiful shepherd. His face is kind and gentle and good. His gaze is loving. All around him, the sheep are nuzzling him. And over his shoulders is the lost lamb that he went out and sought and rescued and brought back. In the early 1970s, a spiritual awakening swept through our area, and a charismatic group began meeting every Friday night in our old Presbyterian church. I became born again at the age of 8, and from 8 to 18, I spent every Friday evening worshiping and looking up at the beautiful shepherd. But even more important than a piece of sacred art, I was in the living presence of the beautiful shepherd. In an atmosphere that was full of the Holy Spirit, I could hear the voice of my beautiful shepherd. Beloved, listen to me. When we come together with his people, when we're gathered in his name and his presence is among us and his spirit is here, in that atmosphere, when we sing to him, he sings over us songs of deliverance. And my prayer today is that you will experience a spiritual awakening in your heart. My prayer is that you would let go of any distorted image of Jesus that religion or Hollywood may have handed you, and that you would see Jesus as he really is, beautiful. My prayer is that you would get a new image of Jesus that's formed not from a piece of artwork, but formed in his living presence. That you wouldn't hear the words of a mere man this morning, but that you would hear the voice of your shepherd calling you. When I started this series called Discovering Jesus, the very first night that I got up to preach the very first sermon, I stood up right over there and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clearly as he's ever spoken to me. And he said, "Son," he said, "when people leave here today, do you want them to say, 'What a wonderful preacher,' or do you want them to say, 'What a wonderful Savior'?" Beloved, my prayer is that you would leave here today saying, "What a wonderful Savior is Jesus." Would you do something with me? Would you just put your hands over your eyes for one moment and pray this with me? Would you repeat after me? Father, help me to experience Jesus in all his beauty this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been on a journey of discovery. And it's all about Jesus. We're answering the question, who is Jesus? And there's no better place to begin to inquire than to look at what Jesus says about himself. The easiest way to get to know someone is to sit down with him or her and say, "So tell me about yourself." And there's no place where Jesus tells us about himself more clearly than in the Gospel of John. John records 7 statements of Jesus whereby he reveals himself to us. They're called the I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Each one of Jesus' I am statements reveals something important about who he is and what he does. John 10 contains a twofer. We've got 2 I am statements for the price of 1 here. I am the door for the sheep, and I am the beautiful shepherd. By the way, the word in the Greek there in John 10 is not the word for good, it's the word for beautiful. And as I look at John 10, I find that these verses reveal 3 things about Jesus, and I want to share them quickly with you this morning. And by quickly, I mean sit back and relax. What do they mean? I am the door, and I am the beautiful shepherd. First of all, as I look at these verses, I find that they mean that Jesus is the one who loves me. Jesus is the one who loves me. Even for us city folk, when we hear the words good shepherd, it immediately makes us think about Jesus' care for his own. The words of John 10 reveal a lot about Jesus' love and care for me. First of all, as I look at these words, I find that they tell me that Jesus knows me intimately. In Jesus' day, shepherds related to their sheep more like pets than livestock. flocks were relatively small, and the shepherds kept the same sheep for long periods of time. They had names for each one of their sheep, maybe based on a distinguishing physical characteristic. This one is fluffy, and this one is snowy, and this one is Spot. Sometimes they named their sheep based on a pattern of behavior. One of my favorite little books is by a shepherd named Philip Keller. He wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. If you've never read it, it's a wonderful little read. And he talks about one particular sheep in his flock that he named Mrs. Gadfly, because she had a bad habit of always finding a breach in the pasture fence and leading all the other sheep out through it and away from the safety of the pasture. In John 10, Jesus says that he knows his sheep, that he recognizes each one of his sheep, and that he calls each one by name. That means he has intimate knowledge of me. That means he knows what I look like. Even more importantly, he knows how I'm wired. He knows how I'm put together. He knows what makes me tick. He knows all of my ways. David, the shepherd, wrote about this in Psalm 139. I never really made the connection before, but these verses in Psalm 139 are really akin to Psalm 23. It's shepherding language. He says, "Lord, you're familiar with all my ways. You know when I go out and you know when I come in. You know when I sit down and you know when I stand up. You know when I go to sleep and you know when I wake up. And you know how many times I hit the snooze bar this morning. You know what's on my mind. You finish my sentences for me. How do you do that?" He knows me like that. He knows me that intimately, and still he loves me. Valentine's just passed a week or two ago. And every time Denise and I are out on Valentine's Day, I love to scope out the other couples in the room. You know, there's some couples that you can tell have been together a long time. There are some couples that have been together a little too long. And then there are couples who are just starting out, and you can always pick them out because they're nervous and they're fidgety. And it's at moments like that, I'm so thankful to be married to Denise. I'm so thankful to be with someone that I don't have to hold back anything from. I'm so thankful that I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not. Or I don't have to pretend not to be something that I really am. She knows my whole past. She knows my whole present. She knows the balance in my checking account. She's wholly committed to my future, and I can be myself completely with Denise and still be loved. That's how it is with Jesus. I'm the beautiful shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. I call them by name and they respond to my voice. I love that powerful line in the song Pastor Dan wrote called Amazing. You know everything and you still love me. I'm the beautiful shepherd means that Jesus loves me. He knows me intimately, and Jesus prizes me highly. Jesus deeply values me because I belong to him. I have a bond of relationship with him, and I am his. Jesus says he calls his own sheep. He leads his own sheep. The hired hand runs away because he's not the owner of the sheep, but the good shepherd, he cares for them because they're his. Jesus is saying, I am highly valuable to him. I am his prized possession. He guides me and he guards me and he lavishes his care on me because I am worth it to him. Do you know that the sheep are a shepherd's wealth? The sheep are his assets. They are his stocks, his livestock. They are his source of income, his livelihood. The sheep are the fruit of his labors. They are his retirement. They are his inheritance. And that's what I am to Jesus. I am his wealth. I am his share. I am his portion. I am the return on the investment of his own blood. I am his inheritance. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 1. He talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance in me, in the saints. That means when it's all said and done with, when history is finished, when heaven and earth have passed away, what Jesus walks away with from this whole big mess is me and you, his church, his own, his sheep. That's why I'm so valuable to him. He has set his seal of ownership on me. His claim is on me. I belong to him, and he's never, ever going to let go of me. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. I am the beautiful shepherd. Means he loves me. He knows me intimately. He prizes me highly and he cares for me zealously. We don't have time to go back to the 23rd Psalm and unpack all the aspects of Jesus' care. But when Jesus says, I'm the beautiful shepherd, he's thinking of the whole package. I am the one who leads you beside still waters. I am the one who makes you lie down in green pastures. I am the one who restores your soul. That speaks of rescuing a sheep that's rolled over on its back and is in danger of dying. I am the one who protects you with my rod and staff. I am the one who anoints your head with oil. I am the one who prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. What it means is that Jesus never, ever leaves my side, and he never takes his eyes off of me. David the shepherd wrote about that too in Psalm 139. He said, you hem me in. He said, you're in front of me, and you're behind me, and you're all around me, just like a sheepfold. He said, where can I go that your watchful eyes don't see me? Where can I run and hide from you? If I'm riding high, you're with me. If I'm feeling low, you're with me. If I run far away, you're there. Even if I try to hide in the dark from you, you can still see me. That means Jesus is just like Denise Harvison. She knows everything going on in my house, and my kids cannot get away with anything. I am the beautiful shepherd means that he loves me. The second thing I find that these words reveal. I am the beautiful shepherd means that Jesus, secondly, is the one who leads me. When you and I hear the words good shepherd, we immediately think of his care. And certainly they thought of that in Jesus' day as well. But I would submit to you that care was probably trumped by another idea in the minds of the listeners in John 10. And that is the idea of leadership. The Jewish people were sheep-loving people. You know, what horses and dogs are to the English, sheep were to the Jews. Maybe you remember that little movie called What a Girl Wants. There's a scene where the American granddaughter gives her proper English grandmother a big bear hug and a kiss. And the English grandmother said, please, dear, we're English. We only show affection to dogs and horses. Well, that's what it was like for the Jewish people. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac and Jacob were shepherds. Rebekah and Rachel were the daughters of shepherds. Jacob's 12 sons, all 12 of them were shepherds. Remember, when they moved to Egypt, they had to go live in the land of Goshen because they were shepherds, and the Egyptian people didn't like shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. Mrs. Moses, Zipporah, was the daughter of a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And among the Jewish people, the term shepherd came to mean leader. It came to mean the king. It came to mean government officials and religious officials, the people in charge, the people in authority. So listen to me, look at me for one moment. When Jesus says, I am your shepherd, certainly he is calling to mind all those warm, fuzzy sentiments in Psalm 23, but he's saying something more. Jesus is saying, I am in authority over you. I am the boss of you. I own you. The right to leadership over you belongs to me. Beloved, listen to me. Don't you get angry. You listen to the word of the Lord. It's important that you and I grasp the full force of Jesus' words here. Jesus is saying in these words, I am the only legitimate spiritual leader of all mankind. Because I am the rightful owner, I am the only one authorized to lead. Because I know them, I'm the only one qualified to lead. Look at me, beloved, and don't you get angry. This is the word of God. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't say, I am a shepherd. Jesus doesn't say, I am a spiritual leader. Jesus says, I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the one and only legitimate spiritual leader of the world. Jesus says, all others are thieves and robbers. The word thief means one who deceives, and robber means one who takes through violence. Beloved, you look at me and receive God's grace. What Jesus is saying in these words is that all other world religions are illegitimate. They're founded by men, and they're perpetuated either through deceit and or violence. Judaism and its fulfillment in Christianity are founded by God alone. That means what Jesus is saying with these words is that Islam is illegitimate. Buddhism is illegitimate. Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism is illegitimate and confusing to say. Animism, New Age religion, astrology, magic, Jehovah's Witnesses, illegitimate, illegitimate, illegitimate. Perversions of Christianity that have come through so-called angelic revelations to men. Paul said, if anybody preaches any other gospel to you than the one you receive in this book, let him be cursed. Mormonism is illegitimate. Christian Science is illegitimate. The worship of the goddess Sophia, wisdom, is illegitimate. That means that Muhammad was not a prophet. It means he was a thief and a robber. That's the word of the Lord. It's important that you understand. See, Jesus' hearers, they understood completely. At the end of this chapter, they picked up stones to stone him. And it wasn't because they misunderstood. They picked up stones to stone him because they understood perfectly what he was saying. He was making an exclusive and an explicit claim. I am the only legitimate spiritual leader, and I am the fulfillment of the Jewish faith. As we've been walking through the Gospel of John, we're beginning to see a pattern emerge. Really, starting with John chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we're walking through a year of Jewish feasts. We started with Passover, then we moved on to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now in John chapter 10, we're in the Feast of Dedication, or as we call it today, Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the Hebrew word for dedication. God's texting us right now, so whoever that is, shut that thing up. Jesus is showing us how each one of these festivals point to a spiritual reality that's fulfilled in him. We started with Passover. Passover is the feast of unleavened bread. And during that feast, Jesus stood up and he said, I am the bread of life. We went on to Tabernacles, which celebrates God's presence with his people. The two key symbols are water and light. And Jesus stood up during that feast and he said, I am the living water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He said, I am the light of the world. Now we're at Hanukkah, the feast of dedication. This feast isn't in the Old Testament. It was instituted in the period between the Old and New Testament. And the focus of Hanukkah is on leadership. In Ezekiel 34, there is the story of failed leadership in Israel. The priests and the politicians were unfaithful, and because they were unfaithful, Israel fell under the thumb of different empires, and eventually Jesus' day under the thumb of Rome. And so they lamented failed leadership, but in Ezekiel 34, there's a promise of a leader that will come, one that God will send, a Messiah who will come after the heart and the spirit of David and lead his people in truth and righteousness. And when Jesus stands up during this feast and says, I am the beautiful shepherd, he is saying, I am he. I am the good shepherd that Ezekiel 34 promises and that this feast celebrates. I am the one and only legitimate spiritual leader of all people, and I am the Messiah. I am the glory of my people Israel. Now follow me. Jesus, the beautiful shepherd, leads his own. Jesus says, I go ahead of my sheep and I lead them. And it's true, you and I desperately need his leadership. John 10 gives us a bunch of reasons why. I desperately need his leadership because I am sheepish. You know, it's funny that God chooses to compare us with sheep. Sheep definitely swim in the very shallow end of the intelligence pool. Of all the animals that are kept as livestock, sheep require more care than any, hands down. They are some of the most helpless creatures God has ever created. In fact, sheep cannot survive without the leadership of a shepherd. Someone once said that the existence of sheep is prima facie evidence against the theory of evolution. Sheep are prone to all kinds of self-endangering and self-destructive behaviors. Sheep will graze over the same patch of ground again and again and again until there's nothing left but mud, and they will stand there and starve to death unless a shepherd comes along and leads them to the green grass right beside them. That's true. Shepherds will drink from the same polluted water source until they get sick. Sheep will drink until they get sick and die, even when there's clean water right next to them. Sheep are prone to wandering straight into danger. I've heard of sheep walking right off of cliffs and the entire herd following them right over the edge to their death. I've heard of sheep walking right into swollen rivers. I've even heard of sheep walking straight into flames. If you know anything about any other animal that God has created, there is something instinctive inside of that animal to run away from fire, but sheep will walk right into danger. Sheep are utterly defenseless. They will stand completely still. You know, they run away when there is no threat, and when there's real danger, they stand still and look stupid. They'll stand completely still while a predator lunges on them and devours them, that they won't even resist when they come to the slaughter. Beloved, God calls us sheep. And it's not because we're unintelligent. We are the crowning glory of God's creation. We have been made in his image. He has given to us the light of reason and intelligence. We were created with the ability to create just like him. God calls us sheep, and it's not because we're unintelligent, but because we are completely helpless when it comes to sin. Like sheep, we're all prone to self-endangering and self-destructive behaviors. All you have to do is watch the news on any given day, and you'll see the tragic downfall of people that are so bright and so intelligent and so gifted and have accomplished so much, and then they derail themselves by doing something that is so stupid. It's because we can't help ourselves. Read the story of a surgeon who his area of specialty in surgery was removing lungs of people who had destroyed their lungs for smoking. And he did surgery after surgery after surgery where he saw the charred, the damaged lungs of people who had destroyed themselves by smoking. And along the way, he picked up the habit of smoking. And the more surgeries he did, the more he smoked and smoked and smoked until he got emphysema and died. We can't help ourselves. Like sheep, we're prone to just repeating the same destructive behaviors over and over again and expecting different results. Can I tell you why your next marriage isn't going to go any better than your first marriage? It's because you're in it. That's good preaching right there. And the same dumb things you did that destroyed marriage number one are going to destroy marriage number two, unless Jesus gets a hold of you. Peter said that Jesus sets us free from the empty way of life passed down to us from our parents, patterns of anger and abuse and addiction, all kinds of dysfunction handed down from one generation in our family until Jesus comes and leads us to a better place than that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I need his leadership because I'm sheepish. I need his leadership because John 10 tells me I live in a hostile environment. It's bad enough that I have my sheepish ways to overcome, but Jesus tells me in John 10 I need his leadership because someone in this world is out to get me. There's someone who's out to take me out. There's an enemy of my soul, the wolf, the thief, the devil, who's out to steal and kill and destroy. He hates me for precisely all the reasons Jesus loves me. His earnest desire is to devour me so that he can deny God the delight that he would otherwise receive from me. His desire is to deny me every good thing that my beautiful shepherd is determined to give me. And on my own, I'm utterly defenseless against him, like a sheep is against a wolf. You know, with real sheep, the wolf eventually gets a full tummy and he goes off for another day. But we heard Pastor Brian read the scriptures last week. One thing that is never satisfied is the grave. That means that the wolf in John 10 will never stop attacking and never stop devouring until he has dragged every human soul to hell. And the only one who can deliver me from the power of this wolf is Jesus, the beautiful shepherd. He's the only one strong enough. He's the only one with enough skill. He's the only one that could employ the strategy that would defeat the wolf. Beloved, listen to me. If you have a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross in your mind and he looks pale and pathetic and he looks forsaken and beaten, you don't have an accurate picture of the cross. The cross was the ultimate vehicle of triumph. Jesus is beautiful in the sense of when you see a hero coming to your rescue. I read a story about some men who were fighting in World War II. They were paratroopers and they parachuted as the Allies were making their way across Europe. They parachuted behind enemy lines, except for they were blown far off course and they landed in the wrong place, and the ground troops that were supposed to be right behind them to give them supply and support and backup were nowhere to be found. They spent 5 horrendous days and nights pinned down by the enemy in a foxhole. They were running out of water and food. They were running out of ammunition. They had wounded men whose lives were ebbing away. And the man writes, on the morning of the 6th day, when the sun started to come up, he said, the ground began to rumble and it began to shake. It was the sound of the Allied troops advancing on the enemy. And when the ground started shaking, tanks and armored vehicles and ground troops coming, the cannons were firing, the enemy ran away. And he said they lifted up their heads out of their foxhole and saw the American flag advancing towards them. And he said it was the most beautiful sight he's ever seen. Beloved, that is the sense in which Jesus is the beautiful shepherd. It means he's my courageous deliverer. It means he's my strong leader. It means he's my capable rescuer. He's my smart and my skillful leader. He's the captain of my salvation. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the lover of my soul, the leader of my life. He's the shepherd and my one and only Savior. I need his leadership because I'm sheepish. I need his leadership because I live in a hostile environment. And I need his leadership because lesser leaders will fail me. Jesus is the only one that could defeat this wolf. And he's the only one that could lead me like I need to be led. Beloved, look at me. Even the best of human leaders will fail. Human leaders fail because they don't have the same investment in you as the good shepherd. Even the best human leaders will take care of numero uno when the chips are down. The focus of the Feast of Dedication was leadership. Human leadership had failed the Jewish people, and now they were looking forward to the perfect leadership of the Messiah. We live in a day of failed leadership too. Politicians have failed us. Jesus, help us. Priests have failed us. Professionals have failed us. Crooked CEOs and COOs and CFOs, they've made off with all our dough. Personalities in media and sports have failed us. Principals and educators have failed us. I think most damaging of all, parents have failed. They failed marriages. They failed in their home life. They failed in relationships with their kids. This coming generation of young adults and teenagers are the most skeptical of authority ever in the history of America, and it's no wonder why. Even the best of human leadership will fail. Patriarchs even fail. Pastors fail. Apostles and prophets fail. Abraham, he made some doozies. Isaac and Jacob, Moses, David, he made mistakes. Peter, the man whose shadow healed the sick, he made mistakes. And so did Barnabas and John Mark, and so did Timothy and even the great apostle Paul. There's one incident where Paul disappoints the Corinthians. He's unable to keep a promise he's made to them, and they're disappointed, and Paul writes to them and he says, "I'm truly sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint you. There were things that were out of my control that prevented me from keeping my promise." But he said, "Nevertheless, there is only one who will never ever disappoint you, and that's Jesus, the beautiful shepherd." What a relief to find Jesus. He's the only leader who's always good. He's the only leader who will never make a mistake. He's the only leader who will never disappoint. He's the only leader who's always fair. He's the only leader who always makes the right call. He's the only leader who's always unselfish. Under his leadership, I experience a quality of life that is described as total satisfaction. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus talks about abundant life. He describes it this way. He says, "My sheep go in and out and they find pasture." That's idiom for "I supply them with everything they need." It means total satisfaction, total peace, total protection, total provision, total fulfillment, total contentment, totally at rest. It's the same thing as when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack anything." Even in spite of my sheepish mistakes, even in the midst of a hostile environment, even when lesser leaders may have failed me, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Beloved, Jesus is the one who goes out ahead of us and leads us. That means that before the sheep come, he goes out ahead and he prepares the way. He removes obstructions. He goes and he searches out the greenest grass and the freshest water. He chases the enemy far away. Listen to me. Jesus is the one who goes out ahead of you every day of your life. In here, it's Sunday, but Jesus is already in your Monday. Jesus is already in your Tuesday. He's already in your Wednesday and your Thursday. He's already in next week. He's already in next month. He's already in next year. He's already in your next decade. He's already seeking out the best opportunities for you. He's already removing the obstacles. He's already chasing the enemy out of your way. He goes out ahead of his sheep. He's my beautiful shepherd means he's my beautiful leader. Everybody look at me for one moment. I have a question from the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to resist leadership like that? Why wouldn't you want to entrust yourself completely to Jesus? Why wouldn't you want to follow him? His voice is calling you today. He's calling your name. He's singing, "Shepherds, sing." I do this with my kids. I have little songs. I sing personally over each one of my kids. That's the way our shepherd, he's singing over you. His personal love melody calling to you. I am the door and I am the beautiful shepherd. Jesus is the one who loves me. Jesus is the one who leads me. And finally, Jesus is the one who lays down his life for me. As we've been journeying through the Gospel of John, we've seen something extraordinary about Jesus. As the Word of God, he is both the messenger and the message itself. He is the giver of living water, and he is the water itself. He is the giver of living bread, and he is the bread itself. He is the giver of divine light, and he is the light itself. In John chapter 10, he is the one who leads the sheep to the door, and he is the door himself. He is the good shepherd, and he is the sacrificial Lamb of God whose blood takes away the sins of the world. This is where the two metaphors in John 10 converge. I am the door and I am the good shepherd. It converges in these words that Jesus says four times, I lay down my life for my sheep. 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 We were in Israel about 10 years ago and we got to see a sheepfold like the one Jesus is picturing here. Sometimes sheepfolds were made out of caves. Sometimes they were made out of a cleft in a rock. Sometimes a sheepfold was an enclosure of stone walls. Out in the wilderness pastures, sheepfolds were made out of hedges of thorns. That's what it means in the Aaronic blessing when it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The word for keep there is the word that describes a corral that is made out of a hedge of thorns. He's literally saying, the Lord be a hedge of thorns around you. But there's one thing that every sheepfold had in common, and that is this. There is only one opening. There is only one way in. The shepherd would lead his sheep from the pasture. As the sun was going down, he'd lead them back to the safety of the fold, and he would stand by that one opening while each sheep went in one by one. He would count them, calling them by name. There's Fluffy, and there's Spot, and there's Mrs. Gadfly. He'd inspect each one to make sure that everything was well. Then when all the sheep were in the fold, the shepherd himself would lie down across that opening and he became the door. No sheep could go out except over his body. No wolf or no thief could get in except through his body. Beloved, Jesus is the door. The only way into the sheepfold is through his body. The only way into salvation is through his body. The only way into eternal life is through his body. The only way into abundant life and total satisfaction is through his body. I lay down my life means that Jesus is the one who lived for me. I don't know why I never really thought about it before, but it occurred to me that laying down his life didn't begin at the cross. The cross was the culmination of a sacrificial life of obedience that was laid down from the very beginning. Jesus laid down his life every day by living for me. Every moment of every day that he lived in perfect, sinless obedience to the Father, he was laying down his life for me. Every time he resisted temptation, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we are, yet without sin. Every time he refused to yield to temptation, he was laying down his life for me. Every time he yielded his will to the will of the Father, he was laying down his life for me. Read the Gospels. Jesus was hungry and he fed 5,000 people while he himself was hungry. He was thirsty and he offered a woman living water. He was grieving the death of his cousin John and he ministered to the sick and the needy that were coming to him one after another. He laid down his life every day he lived. The writer of Hebrews says that he is both the priest that brings the offering of blood to the mercy seat, and he is the offering of blood. And the writer of Hebrews says that the reason that his blood is effective to remove the sins of the entire world is because he is the only one who lived a life of complete obedience to the Father. I lay down my life means Jesus lived for me. I lay down my life means Jesus is the one who died on the cross for me. He himself bore my sins in his body on the tree. I have to tell you the truth, reading the scriptures, I feel like I've been born again all over this week as the wonder of what Jesus has done for me has just filled my heart again to overflowing. He was falsely accused and he didn't open up his mouth because he was laying down his life for me. He was spat upon and beaten with rods. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails whip. He had a crown of thorns pushed down on his head. And he didn't resist because he was laying down his life for me. Do you know, beloved, one thing that's so important to understand about the Gospel of John is that there's no way they could have done it to him if he hadn't voluntarily laid down his life. Even when they came to arrest him in the garden, when they said, "We're looking for Jesus," and he said, "I am he," the power of his presence knocked them flat on their backs. His hands were pierced through with nails. His feet were pierced through with nails. He hung on a cross because he was laying down his life for me. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he laid down his life for me. And Jesus is the one who ever lives to make intercession for me now. Somebody receive a word from the Lord. The good shepherd is the one that goes on ahead of his sheep. He went on ahead of us into the grave. He went on ahead of us in resurrection. He has gone ahead of us, Hebrews says, now into the heavenlies. He's gone on ahead of us so we don't have to be afraid. If Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come soon, if he doesn't come in our lifetime, then every one of us will leave this world through the doorway called death. But we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus, our shepherd, has already gone on ahead of us into the heavenlies, and he's opened the way for us. And he ever lives in a body of glorified human flesh, where he makes intercession for me at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So when the wolf, when the thief, when the accuser of the brethren comes to give God an earful about me, Jesus stands up and he says, "Over my dead body." I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Come on, give Jesus some praise in this place. Hallelujah! 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 What other Savior has there ever been like Jesus? What other Savior called by any other name has done what he's done? What other Savior has lived like him? What other Savior has laid down his life like him? What other Savior has loved like him? What other Savior leads like him? What other Savior is as beautiful as Jesus, my good shepherd? Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your face to heaven? Would you lift your voice? And would you just love on him right now? Come on, church. Would you just love on him right now? Would you just love on him? Come on. Just tell him, "I love you, Jesus. I 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 love you, I love you, I love you." Come on, just thank him, thank him. Thank you for living for me. Thank you for every moment of obedience, perfect and complete obedience for me. Thank you for the cross. Come on, thank him, church. Thank him, thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, come on, let's sing, "Jesus, my shepherd, my saving grace." Help us out, Pastor Dan, if you would.
Oh, Jesus, my shepherd, my saving grace, mercies renewed every day. Oh, you brought me this far, I know you'll lead me all the way home. And your faithfulness.
Come on, let's sing to Jesus. "Jesus, my shepherd, my saving grace."
Oh, Jesus, my shepherd, my saving grace. Mercies renewed every day.
You brought me this.
Oh, you brought me this far, I know you'll lead me all the way. Oh, you brought me this far, I know you'll lead me. Oh, one more time. You brought me this far, I know you'll lead me. Your faithfulness and your faithfulness won't let me go.
Come on, give him another big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Whoa, thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, you're faithful, Lord. Ooh,
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Would you bow your heads all over this place? We're gonna pray in just one moment. But before we do, I wonder if there's someone here and you're not sure whether you're one of His sheep or not. That there's one thing about the sheepfold. The door is very narrow and the sheep can only go in one by one. They can't come in a crowd. That means there's only one way to enter, and that is you personally have to enter yourself through the door of Jesus. You're not in because your parents are in. You're not in because some other people in your church are in. You're only in if you've entered in through the door of Jesus. The way we do that is simply by responding to His voice, saying yes to Him, accepting His leadership, inviting Him to be the Lord and the leader of our life, asking Him to forgive our sins. I wonder if there's someone here, you've never done that. I feel like in my heart there might be some people here and you're not sure. And you want to know for sure today that you're one of His sheep, that you belong to Him. While heads are bowed all over this place, if that's you, if today is your day to become one of His sheep, while heads are bowed everywhere, I want to ask you, it's just between you and God, I want to ask you to just lift up your hand high to Jesus, and I'm going to pray for you. You're here today, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, and today you want to do that. You want to receive Him. You want to accept Him today. Come on, there's hands. There's some more. Is there anybody else? You've never received Jesus. Today is your day. You want to become His sheep today. Only one by one. Your mother's Christianity won't cut it. Your father's relationship to God, it will do nothing for you. You have to enter yourself. Come on, where are you? There's some more hands. Is there some others today? I want to be His sheep. I want to receive Him today. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all lift up our hands all over this place together. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And we're going to help some people take that first step. Welcome to the fold. Welcome to the pen. Welcome to eternal life. Welcome to total satisfaction. Welcome. Come on, lift up your hands all over. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I want to ask everyone to help us out and pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for living for me. Thank you for laying down your life for me. Thank you for the cross. Jesus, forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me clean. Jesus, I invite you now to be my shepherd. I invite you now to be my Lord and the leader of my life. I'm following you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord.